Welcome to the Wags of SCI podcast, where we discuss life, love, and caregiving after spinal cord injury, hosted by Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget.
Both of our partners are quadriplegics, and after connecting online in 2017, we began the advocacy and support group Wags of SCI, which is an acronym for Wives and Girlfriends with Spinal Cord Injury.
We know firsthand the challenges that come with living this lifestyle, and our mission is to spread education, awareness, and positivity from our unique perspectives.
Join us each week as we tackle deep discussions around balancing life as a caregiver and a lover to someone with a spinal cord injury.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Wags of SCI podcast. Here we go. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Wags of SCI podcast with your hosts, Elena Pauly and Brooke Paget. Today, we are going to discuss a really great topic we had on the private group, the Facebook Wags of SCI Facebook private group. But before we begin, I would like to invite you to sit in a quote that I am going to read from my book of A Year of Positive Thinking, Daily Inspirations, Wisdom, and Courage. And for the day, this is the quote that came up. A 1,000-mile journey begins with a single step. Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither is your ideal life. First, you have to begin exactly where you are. Then one step leads to another, which leads to another. Know that sometimes there may be 2 steps forward and 5 steps back. Be patient with yourself. Take your time. Walk slowly and trust that each step you are making progress on your 1,000-mile journey, whatever that may be for you.
Before we get into the podcast, I just wanted to send a huge shout out to this episode's sponsor, who is Robin Wishart of Wishart Brain and Spine Law. So a huge thank you to Robin and her team for believing in the Wags group and for also being the official legal advocates of the Wags of SCI community. Robin can help you with anything from benefits paperwork, insurance issues, going over your insurance benefits, looking into insurance benefits, so many questions surrounding those issues. She can also help you with your own cases, human rights issues, cases with discrimination. If you need a letter that is a legal letter, or if you need help with a POA, Robin is very used to dealing with the caregiver world and has been helping us for the past 4 years behind the scenes. So you can visit wagsofsci.com and click on the legal resources tab. Or you can also visit her website at brainandspinelaw.com and check it out.
So today's episode, we wanted to kind of piggyback off of 2 things. One, our Instagram post, which had a whole bunch of comments and likes, and we were really excited to share this with you because I guess it's reality. And the quote basically was, both can be true at once. We had our women from the private discussion group chime in and let us know what are 2 things through the spinal cord injury caregiver life that can coexist, that can be true at once. So just a few of them here I'm going to read out to you because we're going to continue on and kind of piggyback through the Wags of SCI private discussion group with the topic of what you wish others understood about being a caregiver. So both can be true at once, joy in the life you have and grief in the life you lost. Feeling like others have it worse, knowing that your pain is also valid. You can have immense gratitude as well as anger and frustration. So these are some of the comments that we got back from the Wags of SCI private discussion group members. And we totally feel it. You can totally have both of those things. And it's okay to say that you feel those things. And it's okay. There's no shame and there's no guilt around saying the polarities exist in my life. They coexist. I can feel very deeply while still being able to give part of myself as a caregiver, as a partner to somebody with SCI while still feeling some pretty big feelings.
For sure. And I'm really, first of all, thank you to all the women who contributed to this feed. This was a, we got a lot of comments. We're going to do multiple parts to this series once again, because we really think that there needs to be a lot of dissection in these comments, and we need to bring awareness to them. And we're going to do them all anonymously, as we always do, but we're going to go through each one and we're going to kind of discuss what we think. And we also want to know what you think. So if you want to add anything to this episode at any time, please feel free to email us, wagsofsci@gmail.com. So the first thing that we're going to start with is a comment that says she wants people to know that it's not easy to plan a trip or a night out, even at the drop of a hat, spontaneously anymore. There's a lot of planning involved and research for accessibility. Don't we know it? This is one of those things that, you know, every time we do a discussion thread like this, we get a comment that is about spontaneity kind of being thrown out the window. And, you know, I remember myself when my partner first had his injury, I was wanting to be more spontaneous and I was wanting to say yes to everybody. And I did that for like the first half of his injury, where I would be like, yes, 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 yes to everybody. And we know now, or I know now, that this is a recipe for extreme burnout, because you can't do everything. And, you know, I know some people, this is a controversial topic because, you know, the media, Instagram, you know, people with disabilities, their partner accounts, they like to say that, you know, we can do anything at any time. But to be honest, that is just not true. And so I think just generally explaining this to your friends and family and just continually hammering that kind of boundary that said, listen, I want to be invited to these things, but, you know, it takes a lot for us to travel. It takes a lot for us to be spontaneous. So I need notice. And people won't get it right away. You have to almost train them. I know I did. It took years of training and then untraining, right? Of saying yes to everything and then training people that, you know, I can't do this. It's too hard. It's too challenging. Or just simply the fact that my partner doesn't have the same level of energy that he once had when he was able-bodied, especially during the initial stages of recovery. So I think it's all about, you know, just being open and honest and communicating with those you love and just not getting insulted if they don't understand. What are your thoughts on this, Elena?
I think this is a big one. And like you said, many women commented on this saying that when you get invited to things that are out of town or overnight trips, that it can be extremely difficult to pack up the vehicle, to pack your partner up, to, if you have pets or children, to pack up your other family members and to make sure that the room is accessible, the restaurant is accessible, the venue wherever you are going is accessible. Is the picnic area accessible? My God, there's just a lot around it. And I know that people don't understand, and not because they don't want to understand or because they don't want to plan properly, but because it just takes a lot more awareness around that. But being open and honest is the way that everybody learns, and being able to share these things with the people you love, if they love you just as much, I think they'll take that into consideration and listen to you, right?
Do you find that people have been offended or like gotten their back up when you've kind of like enforced those boundaries of like, oh, I need more notice, or like, oh, I don't think we can do it because it's not fully accessible? Have you had any like pushback?
No. And to be honest, it's because I don't care. I don't pay attention to that because it's like you're living your life is already a lot more complicated than anything anybody's ever going to understand, that it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter if they get it or not. I don't think we've had a lot of pushback if people are offended. I think that people mean it out of love, though, like, well, we wish you guys could come. But unless they're willing to rearrange their whatever it is we need help with when we show up to a venue that's not accessible or a place that's not accessible, unless they're willing to rearrange everything right on the spot, because, you know, from not checking, then it's kind of like, we're not going to do that again. And we've learned that the hard way a couple times, showing up somewhere and being like, really? Okay, cool. Yeah, we're not going to do that again. So now I think it's better off, first of all, if you are in a position of the sorts, to plan it yourself and invite others to whatever is suitable for you. I think it makes a lot more sense to be the planner and take it from there. But I know a lot of women in our community. Somebody had mentioned recently that their friend had a wedding, and this individual was the I guess like the groomsman or something like that in their wedding. So that he had a wedding this time around, and the venue was upstairs, up a bunch of stairs. There's no elevator. And they invited them to the wedding and said, "Hey, you can stay downstairs. We'll bring you down like a plate of food and come say hi." So things like that.
Oh my God.
I know it sounds really crazy when you say it out loud, but this is the reality. And no, we can't just show up. We can't just, you know, oh, it's only a step or two. No, that's doesn't work. That a step or two is not accessible. So I think just being very open and very honest with your needs right off the bat, right? Is the best way to start, right? What do you think?
I just, for me personally, and this is very personal, everyone kind of deals with this differently, but I went through a phase where, and I still struggle with these thoughts of like, you feel like you're a pain in the ass when you try and make sure, like say a friend is like planning a really special event or doing some sort of birthday, and then you have to start asking the accessibility questions and you have to say, what about this? What about this? I struggle with feeling like a pain in the ass. I don't want people to like be put out by it, but then also I feel like they have to be put out by it. So it's kind of like, I struggle with that. And I don't have an answer for that. I really don't. I feel like I want to be invited. I want Evan to be invited. But then when you have to start hassling people about, well, is this accessible? And you have to kind of, you can hear it in their voice that it's more stress. And yeah, I know it has nothing to do with us, but it does. So it's kind of like, I don't have an answer for that. And I know there's probably, you know, there's probably a few women out there that feel the same way where it's kind of just like, you want to be included, but you don't want to be a hassle. And I think ultimately the answer is to make the world more accessible. And it's not, right? No matter what politicians say, you know, it's not an accessible world. Even with amazing ADA laws and, you know, Canadian laws for accessibility, there's still so many loopholes. And it's just, you know, it's not guaranteed. I mean, I'm planning a trip right now with my partner, a layover trip, like literally at an airport hotel. And it is so hard to get a hold of people who specialize in accessibility. And it's just, you know, you have to do these things. But with friends, it's like, you know, you kind of, for me, it's like, I still have those thoughts of like, I don't want to feel like a pain in the ass by bringing this up. But then, like you said, I've been to places many, many times with friends who have been around since the start of his injury, where we've shown up and it hasn't been accessible when I was told it was, or like, I just assumed that they would make the space more accessible or clear the path, and it just doesn't happen. And it's just, people are involved in their lives, right? So it's a fine line for me. It's like, do I say something? Do I say like, listen, like, you know, I remember one time, even just as recently as last summer, and my partner's been injured for almost 10 years in May. We went to a barbecue, and this was a place that, you know, we've been to many times, and we show up and it just, the path that was blocked and, you know, we couldn't even get in, and, there was ropes in the way, and it's like, fair enough. You guys have your own life, but it's like, it's hard not to feel like, you know, not to take it personally, right? Even though it's not.
Do you mean like you went to a barbecue, like at a restaurant?
No, it was at like a house, and this house we've been to many, many times.
Oh God.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like, do I go around? Do I say something? And then I said to my partner, I'm like, you know what? Cause everybody was in the backyard waiting. And I was just like, you know what? I don't have the energy to go and ask somebody to help me move this and move that and move this and go around here and do this and do that, because they clearly didn't think about how this would impact us. So we just left. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like, you know, I'll just leave. And I know it wasn't personal. I know that. But it's also hard to not to take it personally. And, you know, it's that same old thing where you do not know what it's like unless you're in that position. No matter how hard we try to raise awareness, mm-hmm. you kind of have to be personally impacted before you start to, you know, consider others. in that way.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's tough.
It is tough. And I always, I feel like the people who can empathize with us the most are usually parents, because parents, there's at any given moment, if you have young children, anything can happen, right? They can be sick, like anything unexpected can happen. They can be sick, something can pop up. They can have behavioral situations, like very uncertain, unexpected things can pop up. But typically there are two parents that are involved that are able to say, one person's able to offload onto the other and say, hey, can you help me with this? Hey, can you, take over or whatever. In the cases of the couples in our community, there's one person who is physically not able to help as much as the other person. And so the offloading goes onto the partner who does that by themselves. So a lot of the time you are physically, not even just like mentally and emotionally, but you are physically not capable of moving the barriers of inaccessibility while managing the care, depending on your level, your partner's level of injury, the care for your partner, the emotions, the frustration around inaccessibility, you name it. It can be really hard, right? And so a lot of the time it is so much easier just to say, let's just get the hell out of here. I'm not doing this. We're not going to do this song and dance around this. And a lot of the time you just gotta go. You have to leave. You gotta make your own fun. And I know a lot of women in our community can definitely understand that, right? They do that. We do that. And if people take it personally, they can't really, because it's like, well, this is... The whole aim of, especially we mentioned politics briefly there, and we're not going to get too much into it, but a lot of politicians want your vote and make sure that what their promises are around accessibility is universal design. So it's really important to get into this, to be able to know that that is at the top of their agenda, to be able to create accessibility for all. Because with universal design, every single person can use something that is built to be accessible.
Yeah, for sure. And, this is an aspect of the future that I'm really looking forward to with emerging technologies. I hope that it's used, in the right way, more access for everybody. So let's move on in this, thread about what do you wish as a caregiver or WAG of SCI, what do you wish more people knew? The next comment here was that there's so much more things than just him, quote, not walking, that's involved in this SCI life. This is also a big one, and this is something that I think we can all pretty much say that we've had experience with people not understanding. Like, I remember for the first couple of years of my partner's injury, I had literal family members that still thought that all I did was, you know, dress him in the morning and take him up out of bed and put him in his chair, right? It was just like, oh, well, he just goes in his wheelchair and he's good. It's like, people don't understand what is behind that, and all the secondary conditions and everything that goes in with that. The not walking thing, you've all seen that tip of the iceberg photo that is literally not walking is the tip of the iceberg. And then everything underneath the water of that iceberg photo is all the secondary complications, everything from skin care to bowel care. And people don't realize that. I know I didn't when my partner was first injured. And, it's really interesting here is there's a comment below that says, we have the trial coming up for the guy who shot my boyfriend and paralyzed him. And this was one of the things that I told the DA I needed for them and the jury to understand, because they didn't, which, you know, this guy's literally trying to get some justice for himself getting paralyzed. And she has to kind of be on the front lines and explain to the jury and the district attorney that the side effect of this is not just not being able to walk. I think this could be a whole other podcast that we could do, but this is one of the things that I just wish everybody on the street would understand.
And not to mention that when people see somebody in a wheelchair, they're like, oh, poor guy or poor woman or whatever. What they also don't understand is that the wheelchair is their independence. The wheelchair is what lets you live your life. Being in a wheelchair is actually a positive thing because it is your mobility from point A to point B, so you can actually continue on, right? So it's not like, I know Dan gets this question all the time, especially from like men in their 50s, 60s. They'll hold the door open for him into wherever or help him grab something that fell on the ground. But they also feel the need. They feel like because they're helping him, it's very transactional, that they get to ask a lot of questions like, hey, man, what happened to you? Or how'd you get in that thing? Right? We hear a lot of that. And he's like, you know, I'm just like not into this right now. I just want you to keep the door open if that's what you're going to do and carry on with your day. So I don't know what it is. I think people are curious, but they also feel like they have the right to be like, I'm going to ask you all these questions about what happened to you. So that can be really cool, but also very not cool sometimes too, depending on your mood, right? You're like, do I have time for this? I'm trying to grab like transit. I'm trying to get out of here. Like not right now. So
yeah, for sure. All right. Next question or next comment on this thread was, it's okay to ask him direct questions. He doesn't have the mind of a 4-year-old because he's in a wheelchair. So that is interesting. I remember I've talked about this on the podcast in the past many times in the earlier podcast episodes about how my partner and I, even to this day, we used to go out a lot more often than we do now, but we used to go out for date nights and, they would always ask if we wanted the bill split, and they would always look at me being like, is this together or separate? Like, and you could tell that it wasn't them just asking because they had to, because, you know, you look around and you see people getting their bills that are close to you and they don't ask people that. So it's kind of just like, they assume that you're like the caregiver. I don't know really what it was, but they never asked him.
Yeah, I think that's pretty common, the whole assumption thing. But also like when you have like appointments, the best is when you have appointments with like OTs or PTs, because they get it and they'll only talk to the patient as opposed to you, almost like to the other side where it's like they completely ignore you. And I think this is something that we began talking about right away, is like in rehab, how there was like no support for the person. So it's kind of interesting. Like it goes both ways depending on the situation and like depending on what's happening. So that's kind of a cool space to navigate. But yeah, the whole thing of like being out in public at like a random venue or whatever, they're like, do you need 2 tickets, one for the man in the wheelchair? It's like, yeah, for my husband? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. It's frustrating. So next comment here we have, as someone who met their husband post-injury, I wish others knew that just because you chose this life and, quote, knew what you were getting into doesn't make it any less hard. Which is also very common because, 50% of our group are women who met their partners post-injury.
Yeah, especially in this group. So it's a lot of people commented on this exactly. This one so much, I tell people it's like having a baby. Yes, you wanted and you knew you were doing what you were doing, but nobody can actually prepare you. And this is something we always say, is there is no manual for spinal cord injury. Because there is a lot of stuff that can happen. But I mean, on top of like daily living in anybody's life, you can't really predict how your day is going to go in general, even if you're able-bodied or not. And then on top of the complications of SCI, it can make things a little bit more challenging.
For sure. And yeah, like, I mean, I wish I understood more, but I do in a way. Like, my partner and I were together before his injury, so we've kind of gone through this together. But I can only imagine, you know, how hard it would be. You have other issues when you start dating someone with an SCI and you don't know anything about it, and they have to teach you everything. And that would be a whole new set, new bag of tricks, right? A whole new emotional roller coaster. And, I see this happen on the private group sometimes, where it's like you get some comments that are a bit resentful, some comments that may say like, oh, you were with him after his injury. So it's that assumption that it's like, well, you knew what you were getting into. But I mean, like you said, no one has a manual for this life. This life will throw you curveballs every single day, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, to be honest, like, there's a lot of stuff that happens at, like, and I've read so many comments from women who are with their partner after their injury, and something's happened where their health has failed, or they've had other secondary complications happen, and they've had to like step it up as a caregiver when they thought they never would have to. So I think there's room for all of this discussion. I think it's all equally important, and it's all very hard work. So the next comment we have is, I wish others understood that even though we are taking care of and helping someone who we love dearly, it's still physically and emotionally exhausting. Yes. She says, I feel like the fact that it is our partner that we are caring for makes it so much more taxing. I wish more people could understand this. I agree. And I've thought a lot about this over the past year or so, about roles and the roles that we play in our society and how important they are, and how I almost feel like they're being spotlighted a lot in the past, you know, few months alone, and how these typical roles that are played in a relationship when the man or the alpha partner isn't necessarily doing typical things that an alpha male partner or a male partner, head of household, should be doing. You take on a lot of that yourself, and the dynamics get screwed up. And we don't think about that because we want to think about, you know, feminism and doing everything ourselves. But I feel like it's important to note that the family unit and the structure of how males and females play off each other, it's very important. And it gets muddled when you're in a caregiving relationship. Especially when you're doing so many physical things for your partner. And I mean, again, this could be a whole other podcast as well, but it's tough and it is exhausting because you're taking on more than you probably should, more than nature intended, right?
Yeah, I like this comment here who was like, I mean, how much time do you have basically to explain the roles? I think that what a lot of people don't see is how we carry the weight of all of the responsibilities, wear the many hats. It's the wife, the caregiver, the employee, the daughter, the sister, the aunt, the friend, trying to be all these things for all these people while taking time for yourself. The challenges of finding the right balance. It's being utterly exhausted, but spending time in the kitchen to bake or bring food to a party so you don't feel like a mooch. I don't think people really understand when I say I do everything. I literally do everything.
Yes. And what about the fact that, you know, I feel like it's kind of a rite of passage to this life where you go through the, I'm going to do everything myself. I have to do everything myself. I'm stressed out first few years of the injury or first little while of, you know, maybe your partner has a health issue and you have to step it up a bit. You know, how many times have we all gone through that where we've burnt out? And then we kind of have to reassess and reexamine our life and say, you know, that's not working. Now I have to make time for my own self. I'll tell you a little story, a personal story. First few years of my partner's injury, I was so busy with his caregiving and I was so busy with insurance. I was so busy with his recovery that I didn't make time for myself. And I slowly started to burn out. And I realized that in order to actually succeed in life and not be tired all the time, I would have to schedule time for my own self-care. And so fitting that in, along with all his other needs of being his caregiver and his recovery and, you know, things with the initial injury, the panic and getting paperwork done, it started to calm down after the first couple of years. And so I was able to start factoring myself into that. But the thing is in order for me personally to be successful in that, I had to treat it like it was an appointment, right? I had to treat myself like it was a session that I was taking for myself. And it was an appointment that I was doing for myself, along with his appointments. And so then years of doing that, that was fine and dandy. But now it's like you get to the point where you're like, you've scheduled that, you've done, you know, you've prioritized yourself, even if it's not a set schedule. You prioritize your own needs, your own workouts, your own meditations, your own everything. After doing that for a while and making it a routine, then you realize, okay, I literally don't have any room for much else. And then you realize that you have to make room for being tired. And I know that me personally, I have to make room for how tired I'm going to be, because I know that in order to get my own self-care in, I have to say no to a lot of people and I have to say no to a lot of things because my priority is my own health. Number two, I have to factor in how exhausted I'm going to be at the end of the day. And it's, you know, sometimes it's good exhaustion. Sometimes, you know, you're working with the good stress hormones in your body where it's like, you know, you had a day of relatively easy SCI care, but you had a really, really hard workout, or you had a really intense session doing something for you, and you're exhausted. And then you have to factor that in. So I feel like,
or what about even just balancing bills or housekeeping or
right.
appointments or fighting with insurance or fighting for advocacy.
Right. And it all has to be done. Right. And, you know, whether you like it or not, there's certain things that only you can do, like we were saying earlier. So that being said, getting to a place where you're like, okay, I'm looking after myself, but I also am just, I don't have room for much else. And that's fine for the phase that I'm in right now, because at least I'm taking care of myself. At least I'm not laying down on my pillow at the end of the day with a sky high heart rate, knowing that I didn't really look after myself. At least mm-hmm. it's like, you know, I've done that for myself. I feel good about that. But then it's like, well, I don't have energy for really anything else. And I really like getting into bed early. But it's like, these are the things that nobody understands. Nobody gets it. Nobody says, well, why can't you just do this? You must have a lot of time on your hands because you're his full-time caregiver. And it's like, well, I actually don't. I wish I did.
The balance.
Yeah.
The sweet, like, sweet balance.
Scheduling balance, being like, okay, you know, I'm scheduling this. But right? Also like knowing what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. And I think it really forces you to just spend time on the things that really matter in the long run.
This is true. Well, and I mean, you do have a lot going on. You're about to take off to Italy for 3 months. So you're packing, you're cleaning, you're organizing, you have your own personal things going on. So it's not like you're just a full-time caregiver. You have a lot on your plate too. And so do a lot of women in our community, right? So, and a lot of them are parents and do have full-time jobs and are still caregivers. And I mean, there's no one cookie cutter mold to busyness.
No.
And trying to pay your mortgage, trying to provide for you and your household. And there's a lot around that. And the best, though, is when people who are not in the SCI life like to give unsolicited opinions about what you mm-hmm. should do. You know what you should do? Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for that. That's really helpful.
Yeah.
If you want to come over and mow the lawn, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, or my thing is like people with kids, how they are just like, a lot of them are just like, well, I have kids. So, and it's like, well, I have an SCI partner. So like it's almost like they don't get that it's very similar amounts of stress, you know, whether it's chosen or not. The thing is, I don't have an answer for all of this. Like we always talk about these kind of things, finding balance, but having to do this and this and this, there really is no answer. You just have to expand your container and eliminate things that don't serve you very harshly. Because it's like, there is nothing else to be done. We live in a society where, you know, you need dual incomes to live. You are expected to have kids. You're expected to, you know, take care of your partner without any support from the government. You're expected to do it without getting paid. You're expected to be, you know, all the hats that we wear as caregivers. And it is what it is. It's a tough situation because you love your partner, and you want them to succeed and you want yourself to succeed, but you really see why this is a problem. You really see, why this kind of lifestyle of, you know, women, especially women, can do it all. You know, we can do it all. And, you know, I happen to be one of those people that believe that we can't do it all. I mean, we try, but I don't think it's healthy to do it all. So,
right.
And I am a pro woman. I love being a woman. I love other women. I believe in women's rights, obviously, but I really think it's gone a bit too far. And, you know, caregivers are the pillar of society, I believe, especially with, you know, the healthcare crisis and after COVID. And, you know, it falls on the large majority is women. And that's why we're here. You know, we are here to spotlight caregivers' issues. And, you know, we're going to do multiple series on this topic because this is something that is very near and dear to a lot of the women in this group's hearts. And they want people to know and understand the plight that they go through. And they want to share these episodes with their friends and families because maybe they're too afraid or not in a place to be able to talk to their families or friends about their needs. And so, you know, this is kind of like a free therapy session for anybody who has a friend or a family member who's a caregiver and who wants to understand more of what they go through so they can be more empathetic to their life.
Mm-hmm. And sort of echoing a little bit what you're saying, but piggybacking off of that, take the help that you can get. That is my number one piece of advice to anybody who is fresh out of rehab. Take the help right away from rehab. If you are offered nursing in the morning, get it, take it, learn it, figure out a good system that works for you so you can offload some tasks, so you can offload some of the time, whether you need to sleep in a little bit in the morning while nursing comes in to get your partner out of bed, whether you need somebody to, you need to, you know, have somebody clean your house, run some errands from, if friends and family are offering that, take it right off the bat, because the more you say no, the more you get yourself in a position where you're completely doing everything on your own. And like Brooke said, we only have 24 hours in a day. That is the balance, is figuring out what works for you. So we want to say thank you to everybody who has commented this far on this topic. We had, 90 comments. So it's going to take a few more episodes to get through these. But if you have something that you would like to share with our audience, please email us wagsofsci@gmail.com. It's wagsofsci@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram, wagsofsci. And if you are a wag of SCI, wife or girlfriend of somebody with a spinal cord injury, please join our private discussion group located on Facebook under Wags of SCI private discussion group. And let's keep this conversation going because it's important. You are seen and we hear you. So we're going to keep on sharing this information. So until next time, please take care of yourselves and love one another.
Cheers.